This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Randall, thank you. Good morning.
Thank you.
Thanks for sticking around.
Sure, my pleasure.
David Jenkins and Courtney Jenkins are in the process of delivering their third baby.
Yes. So, little girl, I understand.
That's what we've been told.
Wish them all the best.
All the best to the Jenkinses.
Yes.
To David and Courtney, and of course their two sons. So I'm sure they're having a fun time right now.
No doubt. No doubt. I wonder if they've slept.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not. Hey, we're going to spend a lot of time today talking, of course, about the Nokomis-Lincoln game, which comes up tonight, 6:30 with the tip, 6:15 pregame live here on FM 106, online at WSMIRadio.com. Of course, you know, you've got the Steve Kimbrough, Neil Alexander connection, the former Nokomis teammates, both grew up in Fillmore, and of course, their coach when they were at Nokomis, Lauren Wallace, one of the all-time greats in the state as well. He will be in attendance at Lincoln tonight, just like he was at Nokomis a year ago, and we'll be talking with Coach Kimbrough coming up about 9:15, Lauren Wallace on the way around 9:30, Neil Alexander scheduled to go about 9:45 this morning as we get set for Nokomis at Lincoln tonight. It was just about 1 year ago, January 26th last year, when they played at Nokomis. Lincoln won that game 63-38, and that game last year, much like the game tonight, it's more than just the 32 minutes of basketball that will be played. This is about really almost a career accomplishment, at least in my mind, for Steve Kimbrough and Neil Alexander. You put in the amount of time that they put in over really the last 40 years. Think about the success they've both had. Coach Kimbrough has 830 wins now. That's fourth all-time. Neil Alexander has 852 wins. That's third all-time. So two boys from little old Fillmore are third and fourth in the history of this great basketball state in terms of victory. Simply remarkable. So we'll spend a lot of time talking about that today. Do want to mention this. Litchfield Baseball, Inc. will be holding registration for the Spring Baseball and Softball Leagues. That will be tomorrow from 2 until 4, and then again on Wednesday from 5 until 8. This will take place at the Litchfield Community Center. For more information, you can visit litchfieldplayball.com. Again, registration tomorrow, 2 to 4, Wednesday, 5 to 8 at the Litchfield Community Center. Girls postseason starts a week from Monday. Now, yesterday, the matchups were finally released by the IHSA, and of course, we'll have all sorts of regional coverage starting on Monday the 10th, but there's still a lot of things to still be decided in the regular season. The South Central Conference is coming down to it. Right now, Greenville sits atop the league at 6-1, and then you've got Hillsborough, Carletonville, Pena, all at 5-2. Hillsborough picked up that big win over Pena on Thursday night to get themselves back in the conference race. And that loss to Vandalia right now looming large for the Toppers. And Greenville is the only team that controls their own destiny. It's simple for the Comets. They win their last two South Central games, they are conference champs. They will be hosting Staunton today, and then they are at Carletonville coming up on Thursday night. And that has the potential to be a conference championship game, depending on how things shake out today in the South Central Conference. So you will have Carletonville. They are at Vandalia today. You will have Hillsborough at Roxana, Litchfield at Gillespie. Pena is at Southwestern. Staunton will be at Greenville. That's the slate of South Central Conference games coming up today. And the Comets, of course, will be hosting the sectional this year. And it is a solid sectional that will be coming up at Greenville High School in a couple of weeks. As we look at the Carletonville Girls Regional quarterfinal game scheduled for February 10th, you'll have Litchfield against Pittsfield. That will be the 6 o'clock quarterfinal. The winner will get second-seeded Porta on Wednesday the 12th. The second quarterfinal in Carletonville has Hillsborough taking on North Mac. That will be a 7:30 game on February 10th. Then the winner of that game will get Carletonville in the second semifinal at 7:30 on February the 12th. In the Gillespie Regional, you've got Staunton and Vandalia matching up in a quarterfinal. Gillespie and Roxana will meet in the other quarterfinal at Gillespie. And then, of course, the winners on to the semifinals on Tuesday, February 11th in Gillespie. Breeze Modern Day, the top seed. They will get the Staunton-Vandalia winner. Alton Marquette, the four seed, will get the winner between Gillespie and Roxana. At the Carlisle Regional in the quarterfinals at 6, it'll be Wood River and Salem. And then Southwestern, the five seed, will face Carlisle. The winner of that game will get third-seeded Greenville in the semifinals at Carlisle on February the 11th. Bree Central, the top seed in that Carlisle regional, they will get the winner of Wood River and Salem. The other regional that will feed into the Greenville sectional is coming out of Auburn, and you've got top-seeded Pleasant Plains sitting right there. I mean, they are certainly the odds-on favorite to come out of that Auburn regional. They have had such a dynamite year after that heartbreaking triple overtime loss a year ago to Hillsborough. They have rebounded in a big way this year with most of their team from a year ago back this season. So coming up in Auburn, just one quarterfinal, actually three quarterfinals there. One will be on Monday, Williamsville and South County. Then on Tuesday, a pair of quarterfinals, Tri-City, Sangamon Valley, the four seed, takes on Riverton. And then Auburn and Beardstown will play in the second semifinal on Tuesday. Plains a bye into the semifinals. They'll get the Williamsville South County winner coming up on February 12th. And then the second semifinal will take place at 7:30. All those regionals feed into the Greenville sectional. In the 2A Newton regional, which goes into the Paris sectional, that's where you will find the Paina Panthers. They have a bye into the semifinals, which are scheduled for Tuesday, February the 11th. Paina will play in the second semifinal at 7:30. They'll get the winner between Mount Carmel and Robinson. Totopolis is in that Newton regional. They are the two seed. The Shoes will get the winner between Newton and Lawrenceville. And then you have top-seeded Bismarck, Kenning, Rossville, Alvin. They are part of the Marrora Forsyth regional. They will play the Marrora Monticello winner in the semifinals there. Fourth-ranked Tolono Unity will play the 50th Oakwood Westville winner in the semifinals at Marrora Forsyth. So that's a look kind of at the 2A postseason for girls basketball. In Class 1A, Nokomis will be hosting a regional this year in Lincolnwood in postseason play, of course. The Lancers' first girls basketball season since the 80s. They will take on Sandoval coming up February 10th. That'll be a 7 o'clock game in Nokomis. Then on Wednesday, February the 12th, Nokomis will play in the second semifinal there. They will take on Calhoun. That'll be at 7:30. Christar Rock Lutheran will play in the first semifinal on the 12th against the Lincolnwood Sandoval winner. At the Metro East Lutheran Regional in Class 1A quarterfinal play, it'll be Brussels and O'Fallon First Baptist Academy, and then Bunker Hill takes on Metro East Lutheran. The top seeds in the Metro Regional, Father McGivney, the one seed, a bye into the semifinals. Dupo, the four seed, a bye into the semifinals. At the Athens Regional, Athens and South Fork in one quarterfinal, Springfield Lutheran and Pawnee in quarterfinal number two. Jacksonville Rout, the top seed there. They will play in the first semifinal on February 11th. Greenfield Northwestern, the four seed, they also have a bye into the semifinals. They will play at 7:30. At the 1A South Central Sectional, the North Clay Regional will be headed there. St. Elmo Brownstown and Cowden Herrick Beecher City, they both have byes into the semifinals. They will play on Tuesday, February the 11th. It's hard to believe it's already postseason basketball time. Again, it just seems like a year ago. Seems like less than a year ago whenever Hillsborough and Plains were locked in that epic battle over there in Hillsborough for that triple overtime win. And then, of course, Hillsborough knocks off Greenville in the sectional final en route to state. And now, here we are 1 year later. Greenville, another powerful squad. Pleasant Plains, another powerful squad. Porta, who was in that sectional a year ago at Hillsborough as well, they're off to another solid season as well. So it'll be very interesting to see when we get into postseason play, which starts a week from Monday, and just see how it all shakes out. But rest assured, there will be surprises. There always is. You can't just assume, well, you know, we got the top seeds here. They're all going to move along. Upsets always happen, and we don't see them coming. That's why they're called upsets. But we'll have all sorts of coverage starting Monday, February 10th of girls postseason basketball right here on WQSMI FM 106. Big doubleheader tonight. Boys hoops, Nokomis at Lincoln, 6:30 tip, 6:15 pregame. And then we will have Staunton at Lincolnwood. This should be a heck of a ball game as well. That broadcast will follow here on WQSMI FM 106 and online at WQSMIRadio.com. Think about the history of Nokomis basketball. I mean, we've kind of been down the nostalgic path here the last several months, knowing that this is Steve Kimbrough's 39th and final season. He's got 830 wins, all at Nokomis. Lauren Wallace, of course, spent 4 years at Nokomis. He went 87-24, but during his time there, he coached both Neil Alexander and Steve Kimbrough. So just a fascinating connection between these three men, and we look forward to speaking to them here coming up on Sports Saturday. We're going to take a break. On the other side, we hope to make connection with Nokomis head coach Steve Kimbrough when Sports Saturday returns following these messages.
We join Tim Mize.
All right, Randy Prangy, thank you so much. Nokomis at Lincoln tonight, 6:30 tip, live pregame coverage, 6:15 here on FM 106. And glad to be joined right now by Nokomis head coach Steve Kimbrough. Good morning, coach.
Morning.
Well, we'll get to last night's win in just a moment, but coach, Nokomis at Lincoln, we know last year obviously it was special with Neil Alexander coming back home to Nokomis. Kind of what are your thoughts as you guys get set to head to Lincoln today?
We're going to have our hands full. you know, it's going to be kind of the same atmosphere. Coach Wallace is coming back to Lincoln where he spent 14 years, and they're going to also honor John Flowers, who was the last football coach to take their team to a playoff. So it's going to be a homecoming event up there for them, and they're still going to honor some of the players from Nokomis that can make it up there that played for Lauren also. So it's another homecoming event, basically.
And, of course, Steve, you and Neil are both on that list of guys who played for Lauren Wallace. And as you kind of look back on your time, one, does it seem like it was that long ago that you were playing in high school? And what are some of your fond memories from your playing days?
The chemistry that we had, the fact that, you know, this is something that even Coach Pisco and I talk about, you know, because Brian was just a few years later and played for Harlan Scheibel, who Coach Wallace coached under at Litchfield. So, you know, there's a whole connection there, but just, you know, our competitive nature, we hated to lose more than anything else, and just how hard we worked to try to get those wins.
When you were playing for Coach Wallace back in the day, were you able to appreciate as a high school kid just how good he was?
No. You know, that's something that as the years roll by and the success that he's had and the influence that you see that he had not only on myself but other players around him, you know, that just how good of a coach he was and how he influenced all the people around him.
And I think that's probably been the case for you as well, because it's human nature, Coach. We don't appreciate what we have a lot of times until it's gone. And as you're now into your 39th and final season, you've been getting the recognition as you go on the road, kind of a celebrity farewell tour, if you will. But I get the sense that your kids, they fully appreciate and understand the legend that they've gotten to play for.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far to say a legend, but I've just been around a long time. We've really, the last couple games, we've been really playing a lot better defensively. You know, our top guys have really worked hard against Raymond Wednesday and last night with Metro East, you know, Nodal and Johnson and Herbie. They've just done a great job. And then Jake underneath getting a little bit more comfortable. And Carter has also picked up his defensive effort. And that's been the difference in what our scores have been the last couple nights. And just hopefully we've got a little gas left in the tank for tonight.
That game on Wednesday, Coach, you've won, I think now it's 27 of those Mohawk Classics. I don't imagine any of them ended quite like that one on Wednesday. That was nuts.
Well, there's been a few that have been that close and coming down the last shot. Probably a half a dozen if you go back and look at some of the scores with Raymond in the championship games and it's been a one possession game coming down to the end, and we've been real fortunate about coming out on top on most of them.
And I thought that your team's kind of poise and just kind of mindset came through at the end of that game. Lincolnwood hits the three to go up, but your kids, they didn't even blink an eye. Ball's out of the net, it's out of bounds, it's down the floor, game winning layup.
Well, it's something I typically don't like to call a timeout with whatever seconds left. To me, it gives the defense a chance to also set up what they want to do. And you know, we don't practice, you know, a last second shot or whatever. Just, you know, Herbie got the ball up, and Jake was, and Carter were both in transition up the floor, and Herbie was able to put the ball up there, and Jake come down with it and got himself in a position to make a layup.
And that was not just your uncontested layup. I mean, he had to finish over bodies in contact there.
Jake may be one of the strongest kids we've got. Mm-hmm. He's not that big stature wise, about 6 foot, but he plays a lot stronger. That plays a lot bigger than that, and he likes playing with contact. You know, one thing we got to tell you, just don't go out and hurt anybody the first half.
The first half. Talking with Steve Kimbrough here on Sports Saturday. Carter Sobel, he's phenomenal. Most, leading scorer in the history of Nokomis, leading scorer in the county. But guys like Jake Johnson, the undersized kids who play in the post, I love watching those kids compete because that's what they have to do each and every time they're on the floor. If they're not competing, they're in trouble.
Well, with all the attention that Carter gets, these are the guys that have to get in position and take advantage of them dropping off 2 to 3 players to try to contain Carter, and whether or not he gets a pass from Carter. And Carter's an excellent passer, too, when he squares up and sees what's going on around him. And then, as these guys, and they also get a rebound position. So that's where, our personnel changed due to some injuries here in the last week. And they're all starting to feel a little bit more comfortable with each other, and they're expanding their roles. We're getting more points out of some of the other guys on the floor and getting a little bit more balanced. And Carter's trying to learn a little bit more about how to work with all the attention he's getting. So all in all, it's making us a more rounded ball club.
And this is one of those years, Coach, where you've just kind of been bitten by the injury bug early and often. You've had a number of key players down for the first part of the year, or maybe just out for the year now, like with Nick Masher, Alex Tassetti battling an ankle injury. Has any part of his thought to the basketball gods, fellas, this is my last year. Can you give me a break?
No, that's just the way it goes. A couple years ago, it was injury. I mean, or illness. We was fighting. I know Braden, Carter's brother, he missed like 6 games due to a couple bouts of the flu, just 3 games at a shot. And we just kept going through the team over and over and over. This year, it's just it's an injury thing. Clavin has been out all year with an injury, and then like I say, Mash gets a chance to start, and he comes in, lasts about 4 minutes, and he twists the knee, and then Carter fights through Alex fights through an ankle injury for a few games, but now he's been going to be off a week, and maybe next Friday, look, maybe getting him. We'll have to see how practice goes, but maybe getting him back. In the meantime, we've kind of had to log from our JV team and pull kids up, and that's really taken some of the experience away from them. But then again, they're getting more opportunity to play in minutes and expand.
I don't know how many Herbstreets you've coached in your years at Nokomis, Coach, but Evan is really coming into his own this year, it seems.
Yeah, he's a junior, and you got to kind of remember that he's still learning. It's a learning experience, but he's the fourth in the line, and they've all done good. They've all been point guards, and you got to go out there and even as a junior, you got to tell these seniors what to do, get in position, and so on. So he's constantly learning, and again, the last couple games, he's really stepped it up and defensively, and like I say, our top three are working real well together right now. They're working off of each other. They're really working hard to get out on the perimeter shooters and getting back in and helping in the high post and doing everything they got to do, and it's made us a much better ball club.
Well, you mentioned you guys are going to have your hands full tonight with Lincoln, obviously 3A school, 19-2 on the year. Both losses have come in overtime. It's one of those deals, you know what they're going to do, but it's just a matter of being able to execute against it.
Yeah, it we've got to handle their pressure. And they just don't go flying around at you like, some of the teams that play a hard man-to-man. We know they're going to zone us. And now watch Coach Alexander probably come out and man us or something like that and mess us all up. But anyway, we understand that, and we've got to be able to penetrate their defense and, take care of the basketball, not make turnovers, at least get shot opportunities. And then defensively just try to keep them. They're a good perimeter shooting ball club. They really like to slash and penetrate against your zone and kick to the open people on the perimeter. And then they can drive in and finish too. So, it's a matter of you got to pick your ways of which you want them to beat you and try to take everything else away. And that's kind of been our philosophy with everybody. But with Lincoln, at least we got a better understanding of how their 1-2-2 works. And if we can find some holes in it, get the ball where we want it, then we got to put some points on the board.
I've been talking to several people throughout the week, and I had a number of people say, I've never been to Lincoln before. This will be an experience. Have you ever been to Lincoln before, to the gym?
Oh, yeah. We've went up there over the summer a few times. They have a summer league up there, and we'd fill in some spots over the years. It's probably been 10 years or more since we've gone up and, and done that, but not as a a regular season game or anything like that, or seeing those. I haven't been there, but just through some summer basketball, we've been up there.
Coach, one final question for you. Your teammate, your friend, Neil Alexander, what are some of the attributes from him, from a coaching perspective, that you try to take and use in on your teams?
Just the discipline his kids have, how hard they work. We've exchanged some films over the years, and we use some of his kids and in teams that he's had to say, the attitude and the work habits that they have. We grew up together in Fillmore, and we're just both so competitive, hate to lose, and challenge. And I think both of us instill that on our kids that you go out and play hard and do anything to keep that loss from being stamped on yourself.
What were those one-on-one games like between you two back in the day?
Well, there was more than just us. There was about 10 of us down there at Fillmore that just bruised each other, getting fights, getting mad, and then, we'd go back the next day and do it all again.
Yeah. That's great stuff. Steve Kimbrough, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and we'll see you tonight in Lincoln.
All right, thank you.
Steve Kimbrough, the head coach of Nokomis, 830 career wins, fourth all-time. He's made four trips to state, second in 2008, third in 2013. Neil Alexander also has made four trips to state. He finished second back in 2014. We're going to take a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will catch up with Coach Kimbrough and Coach Alexander's coach, Lauren Wallace, when Sports Saturday returns. And we are back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, attempting to make connection with Lauren Wallace here this morning. If he's back in town, he came back last year, took in the game in Nokomis between his two former players, and he's back again this year. He'll be up in Lincoln, of course, where he spent a long amount of time for the Rail Splitters, spent a long time at Quincy as well. Of course, he had those 4 years at Nokomis when he coached both Neil Alexander and Steve Kimbrough. So Lauren Wallace, 682 career wins. Neil Alexander, 852, and Steve Kimbrough, 830. And there's never been a matchup in the history of the state with coaches with this many wins. Coach Kimbrough, Coach Alexander, I would suspect, breaking their record they set last year. Of course, Coach Kimbrough had just become a new member of the 800 club point at the time of the game a year ago. He's well over that mark now. He's going to finish fourth all time when he is done after this year. He will be fourth all time in the history of the state and wins. And it's going to take a long, long time for anybody to get up and pass Steve Kimbrough with 830 wins and counting. Nokomis will enter the night 14-8, Lincoln 19-2. And again, the Rail Splitters, both their losses have come in overtime. And it seems, at least from afar, that Lincoln's better this year than they were last year. And last year, they had Jermaine Hamlin, 7-foot D1 center, who's at Illinois this year. And that might not be the case. Sometimes, just because numbers say one thing, it doesn't necessarily mean that translates into, well, that means they're a better team. They seem better, but how can you be better when you don't have a 7-foot D1 center in the middle? But you heard Coach Kimbrough say it. They can shoot it. And both teams are going to play the 1-2-2. There will be no surprises there. It's just a simple difference of a quality 3A program against a quality 1A program. And there just are differences, which we all know. But this is such a fun matchup. And I mean, you could hear it in Coach Kimbrough's voice that it really does mean a lot to both of these gentlemen to be able to play each other here at the end of their Hall of Fame careers. And, I know it's something that they had wanted and thought about for a long period of time and finally able to get it done here the last couple seasons. And, of course, Lincoln won the game last year at Nokomis. And tonight, Nokomis will travel to Lincoln. And just like last year, tonight, Lauren Wallace will be in attendance. Lauren Wallace, Tim Mize here with Randy Prangy on WSMI. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, hey, I'll say this. It's a little bit warmer this year than it was last year when you came in.
A little bit. It's considerably warmer. We froze to death here. This year it's gloomy, but it's not all that cold.
And it's going to be like 60-something tomorrow, so.
Yeah, well, I'll take that. That's, you know, what we're used to down there in Arizona. It's supposed to be like 78 when we get back.
Well, that'll be quite nice.
Cold down there.
We are talking with Lauren Wallace here on Sports Saturday. And, of course, Coach, last year that was such a neat moment because Neil Alexander coming back where he played his high school ball in Nokomis. But this also a very fun night ahead of us here with Nokomis going to Lincoln. Just kind of your thoughts on part two of this series.
Well, we really enjoyed watching him play and watching him coach last year. And I know they were enjoying it. It's kind of a bittersweet type of thing in that you're enjoying the game, but you know, win and lose, that makes a difference too, because they're both so competitive. And losing's losing.
And for you, Coach, I would think it's maybe like watching like your children play each other. You can't really root for one without rooting against the other. That makes it tough on you.
That's right. And I didn't last year. I didn't know how I would handle it. I was able to be just a spectator, maybe a critical spectator, but I was a spectator and watching both of them and enjoying it. And so I anticipate the same thing. It'll be a little different atmosphere in Lincoln because they have a tremendous pep band. And the lights go out, and the crowd kind of gets into it. So, and there'll be a few more people there. So, as a result, similar atmosphere, but just a little bit different.
Talking with Lauren Wallace here. And, Coach, I was talking to Steve Kimbrough earlier, and I asked him when he was playing for you back at Nokomis if he appreciated how good of a coach you were. And he honestly said, no, I didn't. It took several years after I was out of high school to really appreciate the greatness of Lauren Wallace. But for you, Coach, when you were coaching Neil Alexander and Steve Kimbrough in high school, did you have a sense that coaching was going to be something that was in these guys' blood?
No, I really didn't, especially Neil. Neil was an offensive-minded person in high school, and now he's, you know, been able to get into the defensive side of the game, and that's what's made him successful. In the fact that, you know, the defense will keep you in ball games and then allow the offense to win it for you. But Steve was a different type of player in the fact that he was really physical. He was a man. They were all, as a matter of fact, those Fillmore boys back then were men already. And that really helped to make my transition into coaching very, very easy because physically, no one was going to be in it. I didn't care whether we were playing double A or class A or what. At that time, it didn't matter because we could play as physical as anybody wanted to play.
The ball press, you know, it has a almost nostalgic feel to it now in Nokomis. It's so ingrained in the basketball culture in Nokomis. Talk about the early days for you back there and that ball press and just kind of the thoughts, the origins, and just how many problems it causes for people.
Well, you know, I coached as a head coach at Nokomis, Lincoln, Bloomington, Quincy, and each place I went, you don't just come in and put in the ball press and then you go out there and everybody's schooled in it and very good at it. It's something that they've got to learn and they've got to feel and they've got to love. And that's got to be sold by the coaches. And fortunately, Steve and Neil both are able to do that. As a result, then it gets better and better as they progress in their coaching. And the same thing was happening to me because you learn how to make the adjustments. You learn how to teach it a little bit better each year. And as a result, then, that press takes most teams that you play out of their offense, and it's almost impossible for them to simulate it in their practices to get ready for it unless you do it every day like we did and like they're doing. And that's what makes it as tough to play against as it is.
That's what makes this matchup so fascinating, too, because they both know exactly what to expect. It just comes down to execution.
Well, you know, again, another thing I left out there, each coach has to put his personality into that defense. Mm-hmm. And that changes the defense a little bit here and there on where the pressure's going to be and that type of thing. So it's a little bit different than yet the same out there. And watching it last year, I could see the difference in the two, the way they played them. And they both were good and both were successful. So it's a fun night to go watch and see two of the most successful coaches in the history of Illinois basketball go against each other like this. And I coached as a head coach for 32 years, and these guys have blown that clear away with Steve at 39. I think Neil's like at 42 or 43.
Now. I think it's 44 now.
44? Yeah. That's a long time.
Yeah, you coached for 32 actually, years, won 682 games. Yeah.
Pardon me?
You won 682 games in your 32 years. Coach Kimbrough has 830 wins in his 39 years. Neil Alexander, 852 wins in his 44 total years. That's his 30th at Lincoln. And it'll be interesting to see how much longer Coach Alexander wants to go. But we know this is Coach Kimbrough's final year. And, Lauren, you know what that's like to coach for a long time and then be into your final season. So I'm just curious if you had any conversations with Coach Kimbrough kind of about what to expect or anything along those lines, because that's a big change when you do something for almost four decades and then you don't do it no more.
Well, I haven't yet, but I thought tonight I might mention a few things that I went through that he might expect. And the big thing that helped me the most was we started going to Arizona as snowbirds that very first year I retired. And we had a grandson, two grandsons that were playing basketball down there. And we watched them progress from freshman all the way through senior years and be able to sit in the stands. And they were successful. They won four state championships between them.
Wow.
So it was really, really life-saving for Barb, my wife, and I to be able to, make that transition by watching that. And we had my brother-in-law and my sister. They were coming down, and they were going to every game with us, too. We traveled in-state and out-of-state to watch them play. So that took care of anything that I might have missed.
And it's always a little different when you're watching as a grandpa, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a little bit different.
Lauren Wallace, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. We look forward to seeing you tonight in Lincoln, and I guess best if it could happen, you would prefer a tie, but that's not going to happen.
That's the beauty about basketball. There is no tie,
yes.
And never has been that I know of, anyhow. And some of these other sports, they did have it, and I just never could understand that. I'd hate to compete as hard as these coaches compete and have a tie. But you're right. It would be nice for both of them to be able to walk off with a win, but we know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know how a coach would feel after a tie. You didn't win, you didn't lose, but you put in the time and the energy. So I don't know what the emotions would be after a tie.
Well, I used to talk to the soccer coaches and some of them that, I said, especially in the Quincy area, we had to travel 130, 40, 50 miles mm-hmm. to play some of those games. I said, You get in the bus, you go 130 miles, you play to a 0-0 tie, and you go home. I said, I don't understand that at all. I said, soccer would be so much better if you didn't have goalies. And they never did appreciate that.
I bet they didn't, no. Oh. Coach, thank you so much. We'll see you tonight, sir.
All right. Well, thanks for coming.
All right. That's Lauren Wallace here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Of course, Coach Steve Kimbrough and Neil Alexander. In high school, spent 4 years at Nokomis, a dozen years at Lincoln, 13 at Quincy, three more at Bloomington. He finished fourth in state back in 1980 when he was at Lincoln, and then third in state back in 1998 while he was at Quincy. And I think that's the year they played. Of course, that was in the Peoria Manual run. They played Manual. Of course, the state tournament was in and still is in Peoria. Then I think it was overtime, and they lost a tough one, a heartbreaker back there in 1998. So, be good to see Lauren Wallace tonight, and We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we will catch up with Lincoln head coach Neil Alexander. Nokomis at Lincoln tonight, 6:30 tip, 6:15 pregame here on FM 106 and online at WSMIRadio.com. We'll take a break. Neil Alexander on the way. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Big boys doubleheader for you tonight. Nokomis at Lincoln, 6:30 live on FM 106. Staunton at Lincolnwood will follow broadcast probably around 8 this evening here on WSMI, of course, online at WSMIRadio.com. And, you know, the Nokomis-Lincoln game, obviously a lot of our attention on that. But the Staunton-Lincolnwood game is a very interesting matchup. Lancer is having a very, very good year. And, of course, Staunton, under first-year head coach Ty Loxon, behind senior Ethan Booth, they have had a solid season as well. So that'll be a fun ball game tonight between Staunton and Lincolnwood from the Woodshed in Raymond. Other boys games around the area today. You've got Southwestern at Bunker Hill, Highland at Bree Central. Mount Olive will be at South County. Pawnee taking on Greenfield Northwestern in Palmyra. That's a 1 o'clock game. Also at 1, Athens in Buffalo Tri-City. At 2 o'clock, Auburn will be at Springfield Lutheran. At 6:30, Marrero Forsyth is at Tolono Unity. And then at 4:30 this afternoon, it'll be Taylorville at Totopolis. The Alton shootout going on today. Litchfield is a part of that. The Purple Panthers playing at 10 o'clock this morning. They will take on Metro East Lutheran. The Beardstown Tournament Championship is this evening at 6:30. It will have Calhoun taking on Triopia. The third place game at 5 has Beardstown against Midwest Central. The fifth place game at 3 o'clock will have Rushville Industry taking on North Green. Then at 1:30, the seventh place game will pit Carrollton against South Fulton. At the National Trail Conference Tournament tonight, championship game at 7:30, St. Anthony will face Altamont. The third place game at 2:30 this afternoon, Dietrich against Neoga. The Consolation Championship will be at 1 o'clock, North Clay faces South Central. The fifth place game at 11:30 will have St. Elmo Brownstown against Windsor Stu Strauss. At the Central Illinois Conference Tournament today in Moequa, in quarterfinal play, Central A&M against Sullivan, that's a 3 o'clock start. Warrensburg-Latham against Macon Meridian, that's a 4:30 start. Clinton against Tuscola at 6, and then Shelbyville will take on St. Teresa at 7:30. And big game last night saw Pleasant Plains beat previously unbeaten and top-ranked in 1A West Central 59-50, and it'll be real interesting to see when the boys' seedings and pairings are released where West Central and Central A&M are in relation to each other, because that could be the state championship game. We'll see where they run into each other down the postseason line, but they seemingly have been on a collision course all year. Whether it winds up in a super, wherever, that will be as good of a 1A game as you might ever see them. That's high level with both West Central and Central A&M this year. On the girls' docket for today, the Carrollton tournament wrapping up. Nokomis is underway right now against Granite City in a consolation semifinal. If Nokomis wins, they will be into the consolation championship at 1 o'clock this afternoon against Gateway Legacy. The fifth place game is at 2:30 today, Carrollton against Greenfield Northwestern. The third place game at 4 will have Father McGivney taking on Alton Marquette, with the championship game set for 6:30 this evening, Jersey against Jacksonville Rout. In regular season play today in the South Central Conference, Carlinville's at Vandalia, 12:30 start. Hillsboro at Roxana, 5:30 start. Litchfield is at Gillespie at 1 o'clock. Pena will be at Southwestern at 2:15, with Staunton at Greenville coming up at 2:30. Also today, 12:30 tip, Quincy Notre Dame at Civic Memorial. And then out of the Central State 8, you've got MacArthur at Rochester, Eisenhower at Glenwood, Normal U High at Jacksonville. Neat event going on today. You've got the Sangamo versus Illini Prairie Challenge. Now, this is the girls' event. The boys' event is next week. These games at Marrero Forsyth today in the middle school gym, Riverton and Rantoul at 11:30, North Mac and Illinois Valley Central at 1, South County and Monticello at 2:30, and then Athens faces Pontiac at 4. In the high school gym today at noon, Marrero Forsyth against St. Thomas More. At 1:30, Williamsville will face Prairie Central. At 3 o'clock, it is Illini Central against Tolono Unity. At 4:30, Pleasant Plains will face Stanford Olympia. At 6 o'clock, Auburn will take on St. Joe Ogden. Then at 7:30, it will be Porta taking on Bloomington Central Catholic. And in the Springfield City Tournament tonight, Springfield High against Southeast. That is a 5 o'clock start. Lanphier will take on Griffin. That game will begin at 6:30. Fighting Illini basketball for you tomorrow as Illinois will be at Iowa. It seems like it's been a long time since Illinois has won at Iowa. That'll be a noon tip tomorrow, 11 o'clock pregame tomorrow, Illinois at Iowa on WAOX 105.3. The Ox is right now, the Illini, 8-2 in the Big Ten, tied with Michigan State for the top spot in the league. The Spartans play today. If they were to win, they will move a half game back in front of the Illini. But at the start of the year, if you had Illinois 8-2 and tied for first midway through the Big Ten season, hats off to you, because I don't think a lot of people saw that coming. You knew that Illinois was going to be improved from a year ago, because quite frankly, they had nowhere to go but up from last year when they set the school record for losses. But they had so much talent coming back. When Io DeSumo announced that he was coming back for his sophomore year, that really took the Illini projections, I think, to a different level for this year. And he has been playing every bit of the lottery pick he has been projected to be since he was in high school. He has been top notch this year. Of course, that game winning shot against Michigan last week. But Io DeSunmu, you know, Kofi Coburn, his freshman, that, and that's really what Illinois has been missing the last number of years. You got to go probably all the way back, you know, to James Augustine, 2005, to find the last time Illinois really had a dominant big man in conference play. And I don't, it's no coincidence then that the win streak they're on right now, a lot of it correlates back to first time since the 2004 season, first time since the 2005 season. And that's what a good big man can do for you in a Big Ten play. So Illinois coming up at Iowa today or tomorrow, noon tip, 11 o'clock pregame on 105.3 The Ox. Brad Underwood needed this season in a big, big way. And think about how the Big Ten season started. Remember, they had they laid that egg against Miami in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Looked just terrible in the first half. Almost came back and won. They next game out, they go to Maryland to open Big Ten play, and they blitz the Terrapins early. They are up big in the first half, holding on to the second half, and then blow that lead late and lose the game. And you couldn't help but think at that point in time, oh boy, this is not good. Going to be another long Big Ten season for the Illini. But they showed the maturity and the growth they have. Because last year, a loss like that, it would have sunk them and they would have fallen right off the cliff. But they rebounded immediately with a good win over Michigan, who at the time was ranked fifth in the country. They were never that good, but their ranking was their ranking, and that's what they were, fifth in the country. And Illinois handled them, and that seemed to give the Illini some confidence after that point in time, because they have been playing sensational basketball. They've won eight of nine since then in the Big Ten after that opening loss at Maryland. Now we'll see, long way to go. But at this point, Illinois certainly looks like a lock for the NCAA tournament. A lot can change. I mean, if the second half of the Big Ten, if they just fall flat on their face, then all of a sudden they are not a lock at all, because they will have been playing bad basketball down the stretch, and that is never a good way to try to get into the NCAA tournament. But right now, they look very, very good. 3 weeks from today, Cardinal baseball, believe it or not. First spring training broadcast comes up February the 22nd. We will have it for you 11:55 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Then the 23rd, it'll be a noon first pitch for the Mets and the Cardinals. They will be in Jupiter on Saturday and then in Port St. Lucie for the game on Sunday. And once again, 2020 spring training, we will bring you Saturday and Sunday broadcasts throughout the spring on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9. And then all 162 regular season games throughout the year, AM 1540 and FM 106.9. The Cardinals haven't done much this offseason, quite frankly. You know, they've let some players walk, which isn't the worst thing. I mean, Michael Wach has been battling injuries for a number of years. He winds up on the Mets. They let Ozuna walk. They made him that qualifying offer. He declined it, signs with Atlanta for just a couple hundred thousand dollars more than what the Cardinals had offered with their qualifying offer. So, I mean, you look at the team right now. They have no cleanup hitter. I mean, they just don't. And They appear to be very high on this Dylan Carlson, and he might turn out to be a Hall of Fame player. Who the heck knows? But he's like 19 or 20 years old, and if you're going to rely on a 19 or a 20-year-old kid to bat in the middle of your order, yeah, he better be Albert Pujols. I mean, you know, that worked out pretty good, but Albie is a few and far between.
Yeah, you won't find any like him.
No, if you're waiting around for that, you can be waiting for a while.
Yeah, don't hold your breath.
No. And that they need a bat, and really they need two bats. Because even last year with Ozuna, the offense struggled, and it felt like they were a bat short last year, even with Goldschmidt and Ozuna in the middle. The Young is very streaky. Colton Wong had a career year. Is that the new Colton Wong? You know, is that what we can expect, or was that a career year and he'll revert back to maybe more what he had been? I think he'll be somewhere in the middle. I think he was one of those players that really benefited from the managerial change. He seemed to really thrive under Mike Schilt opposed to the previous manager. So I think Colton Wong will be fine. Can Harrison Bader hit above 200? Who knows? And Randy, with his speed and defensive ability, if he could hit 240, they'd be fine.
That would be fine.
But he struggled to hit 140.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
They don't take pitches to work a walk.
And it doesn't matter how fast you are or how good defensively you are. If you can't hit a little bit, you can't play.
No.
Now, you can hit a ton and play no defense and play.
Yeah.
You know, if you can hit, they'll stick you in right field and let you fumble all over yourself all day long as you're hitting. But it don't work the other way.
Yeah, but as soon as you stop hitting,
bye-bye.
Yeah, then it's go grab some bench.
It's welcome to AAA.
Yes. Yeah.
Back of the bus.
Yeah. Memphis is nice this time of year.
Lovely.
You know, one thing we talked about off the air is Alton is getting a new club in the Prospect League.
Yes.
Yeah, they'll begin play in 2021 at Gordon Moore Park. And what they're going to do is they're going to do some refurbishment to the park. And then they're going to have like a naming contest. I guess they'll probably do that with the school kids or whatever around there. That'll be kind of neat.
Oh, it'll be neat. Yeah. And, you know, there's been the Grizzlies, of course, have been around here. You think about the Rascals across the river. Like there has been a good support for professional baseball in the area.
You've got the Sliders in Springfield.
Yeah,
you mentioned the Gateway Grizzlies. Just got a beautiful facility down there. It's just beautiful, if you can get to it now.
That's about to get a little interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be iffy.
The next 10 months will be spotty.
Yes.
Down that way.
Yes, it sure will.
Find an alternate route.
They are there, but, yeah, finding them. Yeah.
Of course, you know, the best thing about the Grizzlies, Randy.
Yes.
They got the Luther. That's what I call it.
The Luther?
That's the bacon cheeseburger.
Oh.
But instead of a bun, Krispy Kreme donut.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
A bacon cheeseburger on a Krispy Kreme donut?
You better believe it.
Oh, my.
Delicious.
Is it?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you get the sweet.
Yeah.
You get the salt.
Yeah.
And every bite.
Yeah.
It is quite nice.
Sounds like
quite
it. Nice. It'd be interesting.
That's right. But, yeah, I've always heard that Luther Vandross gets credit for creating, quote, unquote, that sandwich. He had made a bacon cheeseburger one night at his house. And then realized, I don't have any bread. But looked in his countertop, hey, look at that, some donuts.
Yeah.
Cut it in half, and
there you go.
The rest is history.
Wow.
So, yeah, if you're ever there at Sojay or GCS Park in Sojay there,
yes,
check it out.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it.
Yes, that's interesting. That's very interesting. I think we're about out of time.
All right. Hey, thanks to Steve Kimbrough and Lauren Wallace for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday. Unfortunately, we were not able to catch up with Lincoln head coach Neil Alexander, but it's going to be a lot of fun tonight. Nokomis at Lincoln, 6:30 tip, live pregame at 6:15 on FM 106. Staunton at Lincolnwood will follow. Both games will stream online at WSMIRadio.com. Thanks to Randy Prangy for sticking around and producing Sports Saturday this morning on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. I am Tim Mize. We'll talk to you next week on Sports Saturday.